and welcome to Brought to the Table. Today, we have Scott Pruitt and Carter Van Hus with myself, Ian Walker, as the host.
It's the boys!
It's the boys! Back in town for the first time!
Oh god, not the boys. Anyways, this is a show that we have a group of friends. Instead of five, we have three this time. We have lost two friends. We come together, we talk about stuff, we argue about stuff, we all come back and listen to music at some point during a break, in which we shoot the shit while you all listen to music. Today we have Scott and Carter talking about hidden role games, and I, as always, will be the freeloader.
You can talk too, you don't have to just chill.
Nope. The duct tape is going on his mouth in 3, 2, 1.
Fuck yeah, I love this shit.
Oh yeah, this is gonna be really good too because he has a beard.
That is gonna hurt so fucking much.
Yeah, we've just cut a hole in it for now.
In Ian or the duct tape?
All of the above.
That sounds painful. Anyways, Carter, Scott, talk about things that you've prepped.
All right, prepped is bold.
So is the title of these notes that we prepped.
So today we're going to be talking about hidden role games. Hidden role games are, I think, a unique subcategory of board games that have sort of arisen in the last couple of years. They've been around for a long time, but I feel like they've been much more informal until recently. And by informal, I mean like things that children play in the basements of their friends' houses and stuff like that.
Ah, so Ouija boards.
Ouija boards. That's my favorite hidden role board game where one person is pushing around the thing and also a ghost. And you have to find them and kill them. But anyways, so hidden role game, for example, you know, just to like name a few so that in case you've played these, you'll be like, oh.
That's what that was?
That's it. That's what we're doing. Coup, Secret Hitler, Werewolf or Mafia, depending on, you know, when you played it, where you played it. I think nowadays the more popular one, or at least the one that has more prints and productions to it, is Werewolf. And then
I think Mafia is more popular to play by itself, though. Like, I never heard of anybody playing Werewolf except you guys. Like, there's the new Ultimate game, but, like, a lot more people, I think, know Mafia.
Yeah, but they're effectively the same game. And then Spyfall is one that's fairly popular nowadays. It's not ridiculously popular. It's not as popular as Secret Hitler or Coup, I would say.
Yeah, there's some other, like, so like Coup and Secret Hitler and Ultimate One Night Werewolf or whatever are kind of like, they have the nice board game kits you can get with them. But there's some other kind of less formally played, or you can play with like cards. I think some of them still have board game versions, but I never play them, like Avalon. And there's another one that you can play with cards. It's like Avalon, but I can't remember.
So those are some examples of a hidden role game. So if any of those, you know, if you recognize those, that kind of gets you in the genre of where we're going to be today. But I wanted to explain what a hidden role game is and sort of like define the category, because like as, I don't know, as I started talking to these two guys about it, I sort of realized that like where you draw the line of like where hidden role game stops can be kind of fuzzy.
Hence the werewolf.
So
got him in one.
God, I'm in one. The way I see it, hidden role games generally involve cards, just because they're pretty easy to use as sort of denotations of roles. And each card either designates a team for you, good guys, bad guys, you know, fascists and liberals, cops and robbers, something like that. Or it'll define a role or ability that you have in the game. And while this in and of itself may not be particularly exciting, what does make a hidden role game exciting is the fact that those roles are hidden and that you can lie about them and that you can lie out your ass about them. You don't have to tell the truth ever until you lose or win. So yeah, that's kind of like a really generic description. Do you guys have any other, like, you guys want to try to help me nail this down?
I think another like key component is what I was alluding to earlier, is that unlike games like, I don't know, Monopoly or Life or even some complicated card deck building games, all the fun in like hidden role games is just playing with people, and like the board game parts are kind of just pieces of paper that tell you the rules. There's no like requirement.
Bold of you to assume people are fun.
Yeah, and so there's no requirement that you move around on a board or anything, and kind of all the, a lot of the ingenuities and like soft skills and team balancing.
Yeah, that's actually a really good way to phrase it, is that the games revolve around soft skills, not a hard skill like knowing the balance of characters or of cards in your Magic the Gathering deck. It's built around, well, I know Ian likes to bullshit. Is he bullshitting now? Is he lying to me?
I have never bullshitted.
There's one right there.
And that's not to say that these games don't need balance. Like, you still have to make the outcomes fair and stuff like that. And a lot of it is like kind of harder to balance because you need to make certain actions subtle and some not and so on and so forth. So there's kind of like another level added to them. But they're not super complicated usually because people are kind of built. People already have the soft skills usually. And unlike some like really complicated board games where it's all new things you have to learn, people can kind of generally figure this out from their normal social skills.
For sure. I think that's really well put. So I said that like hidden role games get kind of fuzzy on where you draw the line, because you can't define it as just a game where you're allowed to lie. Because poker is a game where you are allowed to not tell the truth, not show, you know, not give perfect information. You know, it's
depending on who you play with, so is Monopoly, Carter.
We won't go into how Monopoly factors into this. Listen, you can't call it cheating if you already agreed to say that it's not cheating.
I never agreed. Everybody else was like,
the treaties were signed.
They were forged. Ian. So a game like poker, while it does have some sort of, you know, you could argue subterfuge to it, or you know, personal manipulation and bluffing and whatnot, that's clearly not a hidden role game. Now, a game like Secret Hitler, which I think has gotten a lot of notoriety, that makes it sound bad, a lot of fame in recent months, in maybe even in the past couple of years. That's a game.
It's a fun game.
Yeah, it's a really fun game. It's a game where you divide yourselves into two teams, the fascists and the liberals, and the goal is for the fascists to enact a certain number of fascist policies by winning a majority vote. Effectively, by voting the appropriate people into office. And the goal of the liberals is to figure out who the fascists are. And so you do that by lying and saying, no, 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 I voted for this person because I thought they were a fascist and I wanted to see what they do. So that type of game where you're trying to explain yourself is clearly a hidden role game.
Yeah, and that game is very similar to Resistance, is the game I was trying to think of earlier, where like people are making proposals and you have to vote. And so the people who are, you know, usually the good guys are trying to figure out who the bad guys are, and they're trying to explain reasonable thoughts. And the bad guys are trying to explain, you know, thoughts that let them win in a reasonable way. They're trying to make them seem like reasonable people, but they're actually doing things that are wrong.
Yeah, and so where I think this kind of gets fuzzy is a game like Love Letter. We talked about Love Letter in one of our previous episodes, and it's a game where your hand is secret and you are not trying to lie about it. You can't lie about it. It's against the rules, as opposed to in hidden role games where lying is fine for pretty much the whole game, but you're still trying to manipulate the other players into thinking, oh, he might have something good, so maybe I should call him out on it. So you are hiding things from yourself, but is it really a hidden role game? I don't know. I really don't.
It's kind of similar to Coup, and that you have like roles in your hand and people don't know what they are, and you're using them to take actions, but you never actually take an action that you couldn't normally take, unlike Coup, where you're just doing whatever you want.
I feel like it's very much a similar idea of you can lie up until you either lose or win. Like, you say with Love Letter, you're like, oh yeah, no, I definitely have this card, I definitely have this person. You can definitely lie about that up until somebody's like, all right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to play whatever my card is, and we're going
to
see.
Yeah, but I think the key distinction that Carter and I are drawing, because we didn't really include Love Letter in our, like, definitely is a hidden role game list, is that with Love Letter, lying is rarely to your immediate benefit. Like, it's not an action you're taking because you're lying. Where, like, in Coup, you can say, I am the Duke, I'm going to take 3 coins, and it just immediately benefits you unless somebody calls you. In Love Letter, you can't be like, I am the prince, discard your hand. You have to actually play the prince card. The level that lying benefits you in Love Letter is like only like at least one level in direction where you can like make people think you had a good card so they could play a prince on you or something, or Baron or whatever.
Yeah, I think that the distinction here is I would actually put Love Letter in the same bucket as poker, because I think the difference is between lying to actually get something via the rules of the game versus just bluffing.
Yeah, it's definitely got bluffing where you can play mental games. Like, it's the one level removed from like actually benefiting you. It kind of does, but it's only because you're in somebody else's head and not because you're just taking an action.
So I like these games. Scott touched on this earlier, because these games only get better the more you play them with a given group. So if you sit down and you play Secret Hitler, you know, you'll start to learn what people's tells are. Like, I know Ian's beard wiggles when he's lying, and I know it kind of like flips up and down when he's telling the truth, you know, and you'll learn people's tells just like you would in poker. But then you start trying to manipulate those people by trying to figure out, well, if I do this and he does that, then I know he's this, and then I can extrapolate from there that this guy is something else. And it's just, the more you play with people, the deeper you get in these mind games.
Yeah, and one thing I actually like about it, like Carter said, it's good when you keep playing with the same people. But I actually play this with like work friends. And so it's really fun when you have like a somewhat consistent group. Because when you add people in, they immediately get exposed to like an infinite pair of relationships at the table. Like, oh, blank does this to blank. And it's like really interesting to see how different the relationships are in when you're playing the game. Like when you're accusing people of being Hitler and Secret Hitler versus like just going up and meeting like, hey, what do you work on? Or like, hey, how about them Mets or whatever? It gives you like a really, really abrupt intro to a lot of people's behaviors in high stress situations, air quotes.
So I don't think we really have much more to say about Hidden Role games. So what we've done before this recording is we actually recorded us playing Spyfall, which was a board game that, or a Hidden Role game that I mentioned earlier. And I think it came out pretty well. I hope the listeners and you guys think so too. So I think we're just going to take a quick break and then play that for you guys.
Are we going to explain how Spyfall works?
I think I did already.
I feel like in the Spyfall episode, you're probably like, oh, I don't need to explain how Spyfall works because we'll explain it.
That's fair. Yeah.
So Spyfall is a Hidden Role game where every player is assigned a role, and that's the only thing they know. When you get assigned a role, it will say you are in some location and you are this role. The roles aren't really that important. The location is kind of the central theme of the game. One person will not get the location, though, and they will get the role of spy. So, it's a round-based game, kind of, like most Hidden Role games. You'll start with a random person or whoever lost or won the last round. They will get to ask a question of any other person. And you can say something like, hey, is it hot here in this location that I know because I'm definitely not the spy? And the other person will answer. That's fine. They can answer like, oh yeah, it's hot because the location is the beach. Except they will not say the location is the beach because they'd be revealing it. The spy's job then is to, from the answers of other people, figure out what the location is. And they win if they can correctly guess the location. Because when they guess, they kind of reveal themselves as a spy. If they're wrong, they lose. The rest of the players are trying to use these questions to find out who the spy is. So if you say like, hey, are there a bunch of windows here? And the location that you know, because you're not the spy, is the circus tent. And the person says, oh yeah, plenty of beautiful windows. You'd be like, damn, that person's the spy. And you can propose them as the spy. And if the vote is unanimous, they are the losers and all the non-spies win. That's basically it. There are a bunch of locations which we will post for you to look at so you can play along.
All right. So hope you all enjoyed hearing about Hidden Role games. We're going to go on a break. And when we come back, you will hear us all be pretty shit at, you know, playing Spyfall.
Fuck you. I won every round.
You'll also get to hear Carter do a bunch of shit voices.
Yeah, you are. Oh, man, I did so bad. I'm so sorry.
Very important note. We time travel and bring back all the podcast members to play Spyfall.
We time travel.
The other ones are now dead.
Because we killed them. Yeah, we killed them. Yeah.
Really? Are we all going to make the same joke that we killed everybody else on the podcast?
It's not a joke, Ian. We killed them.
Yeah, it's not a joke when you bury the body.
Wait, does Kevin know? Is Kevin gonna fucking snitch?
Have you seen Kevin? I haven't seen him since last episode.
Wait, who the fuck is Kevin?
Kevin's our carrier pigeon. I haven't seen Kevin in a while.
Guys, Let's take a break.
We're going to go find Kevin first, if he's not already talked.
All right. Thanks for listening to this segment. We'll catch you up in a little bit after this break.
Okay, all right. Hi, everybody. We're back, I guess. We haven't actually recorded the first part of this episode yet, so this is...
Coming to you from the past.
Coming at you time travel style. Anyways, we are going to play a couple of rounds of Spyfall, which is one of the hidden role games that I'm guessing we mentioned.
I'm
just kind of like assuming, unless we forget about it between now and, you know, in 2 days when we actually record.
So it occurs to me we should have called this game Carmen Sandiego. Because you're trying to figure out where in the world you are.
Well, if you're the spy, you are.
Fair.
I feel like this would be a good game to play with friends of just, like, make up your own list of places and just be like...
It would be.
Where is this? Like, I feel like that would be a lot of fun.
That would be really good. I like that. Is it clear to everyone? Anybody have any questions before we start?
Dopey, canonically, has fucked.
Hey... Keep these words in your mouth.
Okay.
And not in my ears.
Crash Bandicoot, you know he fucks.
You know he fucks.
I don't get this.
Me neither, dude. And it's my fucking joke.
Let's roll. Roll initiative, everybody.
Press the buttons.
Yeah. Scott, can you start us on a round?
Okay, so you're going to get a private message from Athena that has your roll. Okay, I got one.
I got one.
Everybody got a message?
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yep. All right.
Okay. So let's just start the way we always do with Diana.
Oh no. Oh shoot. What kind of
also, it's really fun if you like fucking role play your character. It's very fun. For example, if you're a janitor, you can just pretend you're Scruffy from Futurama.
Or the janitor from Scrubs.
Well, would you like me to go first, Diana, to sort
yes,
of
please.
Give you guys a guideline? Okay. All right. Let me think about this. Scott.
What's
in,
up?
In this location, in your job, in your day-to-day, or if it's not your job, it, you know, just in this area where you would be here at this location, is there a lot of foot traffic?
Define a lot.
No.
Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah, I forgot this is just like an answer. People come in and they stay for a little bit, but the amount of, like, the volume of foot traffic, I'd say, is only a few people, but they might be moving around a lot.
Okay. I can see it, I guess. Okay, so now it is Scott's turn to ask a question.
All right. Caitlin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I'm so bad at this game.
It's been a minute, huh? It's been a minute.
Caitlin, what do you think of the windows in this location?
This fucking question again.
Oh, I remember this question. I have flashbacks.
I now also remember playing this game.
I don't remember this question. I'm in a weird fugue state. I don't know that much about the anatomy. Do these things have windows?
That's a question that people other than the spy would know.
I'm trying... Well, no. I mean, I can't say that I frequent these locales in my real-ass life.
We're gonna need an answer, Caitlin.
What do I think of the windows?
Yeah, in this location, what do you think of the windows?
Pretty neat.
Are they big? Are they small? Many? Few?
I literally don't know if they exist or not.
I'll take that as an answer.
I'll accept that as an answer.
I think my magical windows are pretty good. This is hard. Diana.
Yes.
What do you think of the smell of this location?
So, like, there can be sections of this location that smell really great, but there's also sections that involve... Not great smells. Not great smells.
Hmm. So a middle of the road is what we're getting.
Well, yeah, because this is a very scent varied kind of location. You get a lot of like highs and lows here.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ian.
Yes.
Shoot.
Are you the spy?
Damn, you got
me. I'm a cop. You have to tell me.
I don't see your badge.
What style of dress, style of clothes, appears in this location?
For myself or others?
For the majority of people who are there.
I would say answer in your role, because that's why we're giving them.
Okay, for what I would normally do here, the dress is very work heavy, as in hands, like working with your hands.
Your dress is very hands on?
Yeah. Are you a stripper?
Hey, I mean, I could see that.
No, that is not the role that I have. It's much more of like utilitarian dress for me.
I could still define that as stripper. Like, that's pretty utilized.
We're not looking for the spy. We're looking for the stripper.
Ian, you're up.
Oh, shit. Okay. Carter.
Hello.
In your day-to-day work here.
Yes.
How many languages do you hear?
Oh, I probably hear quite a few, and depending on how you interpret what my co-workers do, you might find, well, it really depends on how you think about my co-workers and how many languages that I hear.
He's got a really suspicious voice, guys.
Yeah, Carter, why are you a pirate?
Carter, why are you a spy?
I am not a spy. Although I do sound like a spy.
So that's exactly what the Russian spy would sound like.
The Russian spy. Now, the German spy, on the other hand, wouldn't say that.
There's a lot more beer.
God, I want that to be one of the locations, just a spy convention.
Jesus.
The joke is that, like, nobody knows where it is. Everybody's a spy except for one person.
Oh, man. Poor Sherlock Holmes and a vampire, am I right?
Mm. All right. Wow.
Caitlin, is this a dangerous place for its workers?
I hate this character that I've made.
I know.
I hate him too.
Yeah, but you've made it, so now you have to keep it up.
I have to follow through.
Is it dangerous for the workers here?
Yes, my workplace hazards are probably lower than most, but it's pretty dangerous. Scott.
That's me.
Would you rate this place closer to monochromatic or rainbow?
I would say that if I were to picture this from like a children's novel, it would be quite colorful.
All right. Satisfactory.
Ian.
That me.
Is this some place you think you would frequent alone or with friends?
Twist, Ian doesn't have friends.
Damn, you got me. I would say I would be here with friends if my coworkers are counted as friends. Other than that, I would not be here.
Sure.
Can I call a vote?
Sure.
Can I vote that Ian's a spy?
Yeah, I'll go with it.
I do not accept that vote.
Too bad, Diana.
I guess, sure.
Ian, are you the spy?
Yes.
There we go.
I was going to say, I would have, like, I felt it, but I usually would have been another, like, round of questions to be like, oh.
All right, cool. So let's reveal the location. It was a circus tent. My job was an animal trainer, so it depends on how you feel about animals growling and shit about how many languages
I
hear.
Oh, you idiot.
That doesn't count as languages.
Oh, man. I was an acrobat.
I was the fire eater, so I was hoping you would ask me the dangerous workplace question.
Oh.
I was the magician. Do tents have windows?
Magician.
Motherfucker?
No. No, they don't.
Yeah. No, but
and I feel like I've sometimes seen, like, plastic windows, but I don't think all tents have those.
No.
Yeah, I would generally say no.
That's why it was a good question, because if you said anything other than, like, no, or what the fuck is this question?
That's true. Yeah, if you said yes, it's like a bang bang, you're done. All right, let's do another one.
Yeah. Okay, now that I actually know, like, what we're doing. Okay, so everybody's got the dish.
All right,
do you actually want me to go first this time, now that I know
I want Ian to go first.
All right.
Fuck you. Scott.
What's up?
How much do you like being here?
Well, I like being here because, you know, they give me a lot of money to tell them what to do. But other than that, this is a miserable place. Carter.
Hello.
Nope.
Nope, not that guy again. Get rid of him.
You gotta have a new man.
Nope, different character. Give me a second. Give me a second. That was a bad voice.
Hello. It's the same guy, but with a bad throat.
What was that?
No, that's Sling Blade.
You gotta commit to
Hello.
It.
Hello.
Yeah, we're keeping that one.
Commit. Commit to
okay.
one.
Okay. Hello.
What would you say that kind of average number of, you know, transient visitor type people versus, you know, full-time workers or station people is in this location generally?
So you're asking three questions?
Well, no, I'm asking you one question. What is the ratio of transient visitor, you know, customer type people to people who work there or are normally stationed there?
Now, let me describe it in this way. My station here, as you may call it, sees a lot of traffic. However, it may be more than most, and I see more of the transient types than usual. However, it's definitely more than most.
That didn't answer my question at all.
Exactly.
No, it was a solid answer.
No, it wasn't.
No, the answer was, I see more transient people than most people here. Not what the ratio was.
I'd say it's a fairly high number that I would see. A fairly high one.
Alright, fine. Whatever. I'll accept your bullshit non-answer.
Oh, right! It's my turn!
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Diana.
Yes.
Oh, no.
God, is that your voice that you're going with? Oh, no.
Yes, it is.
In your day to day, is it dirty?
Well, now, I run a clean ship, and I definitely do not let this location get dirty. It is spick and span.
Good for you.
Caitlin?
Yes.
How would you describe the dress code of this location?
It's pretty sexual.
Is it
Are
sexy?
You the stripper?
Can we stop?
We can't. We have to keep going.
No.
I know. I can't stick to a voice. The dress code? I wear a fucking uniform because I'm a professional adult. But my uniform's pretty boring. Dress code employees is on the business side of business casual to business formal, depending on how much you give a shit.
I don't give a single one!
Acceptable.
I'll commit to a voice next round. Yeah. Who hasn't been asked a question?
Ian. Scott. No, Scott answered the first one.
Okay. Ian, what are the lines like in this place? The queues, if you will.
What about the peas? What about the peas?
Well, as far as I can tell from my scouting out of the bathrooms at this facility, the pee is okay. The queues, on the other hand, are way too long, and I do not like it.
Can I propose a vote?
Oh, shit. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do
sure,
it.
Sure, you can propose one.
I think Scott's the spy.
I'm going to downvote that, but sure. Why do you think I'm the spy?
Because I can pin down everyone else's, like, I feel like I can, like, pin everyone's role except for yours.
I can't remember.
I don't
what
remember
Scott's
the question that
was.
Got asked. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's ask Scott another question.
Okay.
Which is a good thing that I was just about to ask Scott a question. Scott. Is there more evacuation routes in this place other than fire routes?
Are there
routes?
More evacuation routes in this place than fire routes?
Yes. Like if, you know, you're doing a fire drill, you know where to go. Are there more than just like
oh,
a
are
fire
there more
drill
types of evacuation strategies? I'd say there's at least one more type of evacuation strategy that would be planned for in this location. And based on what I think your role is, I know why you're asking this question. Yeah, I'm gonna drill on Diana now because I think she's
sexy.
You can't.
I have.
All right, Scoot to Boot.
Diana.
Yas. Yas.
Are people generally happier when they leave this place or when they enter?
Well, people are normally a little happier when they leave, when they finish conducting their business here, than, you know, when they go in.
Hmm. Anyone else want to go for Diana? I think Diana's the spy.
I don't know that I'm convinced.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm not sold yet.
Caitlin. Actually, Carter. I lied.
Hello, Carter. It's me.
I will fucking.
You can't. You're too far away.
Sir.
Yes.
In your role in this location, how much time would you? What is your ratio of computer versus face-to-face contact person time?
I personally get a lot of face-to-face contact. My own to others, yes.
Oh, Carter's the stripper.
I prefer professional smoocher. Oh, it's me! Caitlin. Does this facility have a drive-through?
Yes.
All right, I'd like to guess the location now. It's the bank?
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I figured it out after you said no computer time.
I was trying to be a guard.
I thought you were the teller. I would have totally bought that you were the teller.
Yeah, and then he said no computer time, and tellers use computers all the time.
Yeah, but that's why I asked the ratio, I guess. Oh, well. I would say, like, the ratio a teller gets to, like, a person is a little more.
That's fair.
Yeah, but it would have been like, no, it's probably 1-to-1, because when they come in, you look stuff up on the computer, I guess.
My role was armored car driver, and at first I thought...
Oh, yeah, I got that from
that
you.
...that I was getaway car driver.
And yo!
When I just realized that I wasn't.
Wow. When
I
realized
I wasn't, so I was the consultant, and Ian was the robber.
I was the manager.
What did I say that made you get armored car driver?
Uniform. Yes.
All right, it's fine.
Uniform.
All right, Caitlin, you're up.
Hey, Carter.
Hey!
What are the seating options like here?
Several.
Options for my butt. What, are you looking for, like, quality? Or are you looking for, like, volume? Or are you what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Listen, I can hook you up.
Like, what's the scope? What's the variety? What's the volume?
I'll be honest. There's not a lot of... in terms of how your butt feels when you get there, it's pretty good, I think. A little worn, but the butt location, pretty good. But the variety, minimum. Oh, it's me. All right, let's see here.
All right, do you run a newspaper in the 1920s?
Are you Little Robbie?
I'm a goblin, you see. My role is goblin. Hey, Scott, let me ask you a question. What's the lighting situation in here? Is it bright? Is it dark? Is it green? Is it yellow? Is it red? Is it blue?
I'd say a majority of the time you see in here, it's not very bright, though we do have the option to make it so.
Make it so, number one. Am I right? Hey.
We have some fancy lighting setups. Let's put it
like
that way.
That. Listen. Fucking went to a Pink Floyd concert one time, or is a Pink Floyd like laser show, and I was fucking...
We're not here for your stories, old man.
Off my ass.
My question. Ian, you are my target.
Shit, wait, what?
Get down, Mr. Ian.
I'm gonna ask the same
question.
Oh,
okay, yes, good. Ready to go.
Are people generally happier when they enter or when they leave?
When they leave which way?
Yeah.
Okay, so just leave it. Okay.
It wasn't a yes or no question.
I would say, in my experience, no.
Oh, okay.
No, are they happier when they enter?
Were they happier when they left? It's no, they're not. Oh, shit. I should actually listen. All right, so are they happier when they enter?
All right,
enter
can we propose
they...
Ian?
I'll
to
put
this
up that fucking vote right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ian, we're at
can
a theater.
Can we please stop making
theater.
Me the spy?
I didn't even need to be asked a question. I was like, Ian's the fucking spy.
He doesn't know that people like theaters.
Okay, you should have gotten another new role.
I did.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, who wants to go first? Me, I proposed the spy, or Ian?
You, because you are our final person.
All righty. Oh. Caitlin. Yeah. What would you say the average level of education of your normal person in this joint is?
Pretty low. I mean, it varies considerably between the stewards and the visitors, but I think overall the law of large numbers means relatively low. Carter.
Acceptable.
Yep. What can I do for you?
What is the...
It's a real good question we got building here. Can't wait to see what's at the end of it.
Storage situation like here.
Storage situation?
Yeah. What's getting stored?
What's getting stored?
How many places are there for storing?
I'll be honest. Not very many. Like, it's plentiful storage, but we keep it all pretty consolidated, if that, you know, makes any sense to you. Yeah, it's pretty tough to store things around here in these parts as well. I must say.
Are you a spy?
What? No.
Okay.
I mean, y'all can call to a vote. Even if I was a spy, I'd say no. I'll just be honest here and, you know, use my expertise. But if y'all want to call me a vote, go for it.
I want to hear your question first.
All right. This has been pretty much a winner of a question so far. Let me ask Diana.
Yes.
When people leave here, leave this vicinity, are they generally happier or sadder than when they arrived? Or net zero. Could be a net zero, you know?
So in this, like, kind of, I'm seeing it more as a spectrum of, like, one end unhappy, net zero, and then happy on the other end. I'm thinking, like, we're somewhere in between net zero and happy. Like, generally happy, but also kind of net zero.
I'm going to call Diana as the spy.
Are we on an airplane?
No, ma'am, we are not.
No. Carter, what the fuck? Police stations have so many records.
Yeah, but you keep them all in evidence.
Yeah, that's the storage.
Yeah, I said we had plentiful storage. We had plentiful storage, but it was all pretty contained.
Caitlin, why do you think they aren't educated? The people here are, you're like, nah, these people ain't educated. And I'm like, okay, I guess that crosses that off my list.
The criminals aren't educated. I hate to...
But the archivist, the patrol officer, the lawyer, the detective, the journalist, the majority of these people.
That's why I said the stewards are better educated, but by law of large numbers, the average level of education is lower.
It's true. I did understand. I mean, when you said that, I was like, Caitlin, she ain't the spy. I know this because I'm the criminalist, and I'm very smart.
I was the lawyer.
All right, thanks everybody. That was Spyfall. I hope you enjoyed the beginning of this episode, and I hope you're enjoying the end where I put on my terrible southern accent for a hot minute. If you would like to keep up with us, we're on most major podcasting platforms, including iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. That's the only ones I can think of off the top of my head. Anyways, if you go to our website, broughttothetable.com, you can just click the subscribe button there and you can see all of our various links, as well as all of our episodes ready, available to you to be played. You can email us at broughttothetable@gmail.com with all your submissions, suggestions, and even if you just want to berate us, we would actually enjoy that. We don't get many emails, and we really, really appreciate some. We're real lonesome around these parts.
We're real lonesome here on this cattle drive.
In the mountain bank.
The theater of the bank mountain.
It's very interesting.
Let's go
town.
The fuck to sleep.
Anyways, thank you for listening. You can find us at Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr. On Facebook and Tumblr, it's Brought to the Table. On Twitter, it's To the Table Pod. Just because, you know, that's how that goes. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time. Bye.